I'm back. Our scripture reading today is Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, and that can be found in your pew Bibles on page 1550. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Here ends the scripture reading. This is God's holy word. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Lois, thank you for reading for us this morning. Joe, thank you for helping to lead us in worship. Thank you to Lois and Joe and Wendy for helping to lead us as we sang this morning. Do you mind, Trish, do you mind turning the fans above us just all the way down to where, right before it turns off? And it will slow those guys down. Right before you turn them off, that's actually it's one all the way one way or the other. I can never remember. So there it is. Perfect. Awesome. We have a very special morning in store. It is wonderful as a church congregation, as those who belong to the local church, to hear about what God is doing in other regions, other parts of the world, other parts of the globe. One of the things that can happen in the United States is that we look at the United States and we look at the state of the church in the United States, we look at the state of the culture in the United States, and immediately we say, "Oh my goodness, the whole thing is a total loss, and Jesus must be coming back soon because the United States is going downhill." That's a very U.S.-centric way of looking at, number one, Scripture, and also looking at the church. It's very good for us, those of us from the United States, to hear about what God is doing in other regions of the world, to hear about how God is still continuing to be faithful in other countries, other tribes, tongues, and nations. And it's also encouraging for us as the church to see those going out from the church in the United States into these other areas to serve and to bring the gospel to those who dearly need to hear about Jesus and to see his love in action. It's incredibly important for us as a church to be able to have that experience. And also for missions, for missional work to become part of the DNA of us as a church. It is essential that Beacon Falls Congregational Church be a missional church, supporting missionaries and sending missionaries. Supporting and sending missionaries. It is essential to what it means to be the local church in our doing this. You see this at the beginning of Acts and all the way through the New Testament. The local church sending missionaries, encouraging missionaries, supporting missionaries. It's essential to what it means to be the church. So, with that said, it is an incredible privilege to invite Rachel and Donna and Emily to come up, please. They're going to give us a presentation this morning. You're not going to hear from me a whole lot. You'll hear more from them. But I would invite you ladies to come up because they're going to give you a presentation this morning on their recent trip to Peru. So come on up, ladies. Yeah, you guys can use the handheld. Where would you like to sit? Do you want to sit down here or up here? What would be easiest? Would you like to sit like right here, like in a, just right here? Okay. And you guys are grabbing the other stools. Woo! But before we start, I think Miss Margie had something. Did you have something for Rachel? So I want to give Miss Margie an opportunity and the kids an opportunity to give a little thank you to Rachel. This is Rachel's home church. This is the church that Rachel grew up in. This is the church that Rachel went to youth group in. This is the church that Rachel has been encouraged in. And so Miss Margie wanted to just give a special gift to Rachel as she went to Peru to serve the Lord. So here come the kids.
Has like a lot of Peruvian art on it, so that's gonna go in the children's room.
Thank you.
Thank you guys.
All right. Before you ladies present, I'm gonna go ahead and pray for you. Okay, let's pray. Father, as we are here to listen to your faithfulness in the lives of Donna and Emily and Rachel, and also your faithfulness in the lives of those who live in Peru, Father, we ask that this would be a spirit-filled moment. Lord, that the gospel and the faithfulness of your son Jesus would be on full display, and that we would get a glimpse and a taste for your faithfulness, your kindness, your mercy, not just to other nations, but your kindness and your mercy to Beacon Falls Congregational Church, and that we can sit and listen and reflect on your goodness even this morning. So, Lord, we pray that you would lead us this morning. Give wisdom and discernment to Emily and Rachel and to Donna, and help them to know your goodness even as they recount your faithfulness during this trip. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you all for coming and supporting the trip. We're really excited to share with you everything we did and then just all the graces that came from the trip. So Emily's going to start us off with the first thing. It's just basically going to be the breakdown of what our days looked like in general. And then we're going to go into all the different aspects of the trip.
Can we just get the next slide? Sweet. So it's going to be a little bit of a kind of what our common day looked like on the trip in Peru. So kind of we would start off, we would wake up, and we would have mass every morning, and then that was followed by breakfast, and then we would have adoration. And then kind of, so that would sort of start us off, and that was at the retreat center where we were all staying. It was just the 13 of us who were on this trip who were kind of in that community. And that was really special to just have everybody in that shared space all the time for those meals, for mass, and for just the celebration of community as well. And then kind of moving on, we would start our mission work around 9:15, 9:30, where we would travel to various sites. We're going to go through a couple of them. But predominantly for Monday through Friday, we were at a school, which Rachel's going to talk about in a little bit. Or we would be at a local nursing home or just serving within the community wherever they needed us to be. And then followed by that, we would come back to the retreat center around 5 or 6 o'clock maybe. And we would just have, we'd kind of have a breakdown of our day. So we would do high-low God moments, which was kind of a high of your day, what was really good, what stood out. A low of your day, maybe something didn't go as planned. Maybe you just felt really tired, something along those lines, right? And then our God moment of just, where did you encounter God throughout the day? Was it a particular person, or was it just in the general kind of experience? So just where did you encounter God in that day? And then progressively, we also heard talks. So we had various talks from our missionaries kind of about what does it mean to encounter, and just a lot of different experiences of just sharing testimonies. So kind of why did we all, us and then everybody else on the trip, why did we come on the trip? How have we encountered Jesus in our life, and kind of what led us to say yes in general to this trip. And so that would kind of close out our night, and then we would finish in night prayer, and then we would all kind of go to bed around 10 or 11 o'clock, and then we'd start the next day up back at 6:45. So
you can go to the next slide. So we spent a lot of time in a school there, and the school is called Colegio San Juan Apostol. So the school hosts around 800 students, all the way from ages 6 to 16. So it's a broad range of students, all the way from very young all the way through high school. So we got to experience a lot of different ages when we were there, which was really cool just to see all the different ages interacting together. And they go through the entire school together all the years. You see siblings always with each other. So that was really, really cool to see. Our time in the school was broken up into two halves most of the time. The first part of our day, we were in a classroom. And that consisted of teaching the kids about the Bible, mainly through parables. We were doing a lot of skits with the kids. This was mostly with the younger kids we were doing skits for, just like basic understanding for them. So we were doing the mustard seed. I don't know if you guys know that parable. We were doing that one a lot. And then the lost sheep, and then Jacob and the 12 brothers. So we did those three parables were the main ones we did skits for. The kids loved those skits, and I have a video of one of them that we'll watch. So that's really fun. And we made up the skits ourselves. So it's kind of just like all our improv and using whatever props they gave us. So that was really fun. Then we also did English lessons and crafts with the younger kids. So that was also really fun just to like sit in the classroom with the kids and interact with them one-on-one. And just talk to them and teach them about English. So there was that aspect of learning that was going on as well. So we also taught the older kids for a little bit. Most of our time was with the younger kids, which was nice because they're all very cute. But then we also spent some time with the older kids, and we taught them about healthy living and what it means to live a healthy life in all aspects of your life. So physically, mentally, and spiritually, like what that all means and how it's all integrated together. So we did that for the high schoolers. What else did we do with them? Oh yeah, so with the little kids, we also sang a lot. We did different songs in Spanish and English, and then the kids also would sing to us. So just like a different way to like connect with a different culture through music. I also have a video of us singing to them in Spanish, so you'll get to hear that. Our voices aren't that great, but and then the second half of our days in the school would be the manual labor stuff. So that would be, we were painting the school, repainting it. We started in a classroom, actually, and we had to sand down the walls, and then they were going to repaint the inside walls of the school. And then we did a lot of work outside painting. So we would, there's pictures too, you'll see. We were painting the whole outside of the building. And then we were also doing construction with their big cement playground, I guess we can call it. We were extending the cement court for them so that there was more space for the kids to do their exercises. And they do a lot of traditional cultural dances they teach the kids, so they use that space for that. We were extending that area, and then we started repainting the lines for all their courts and stuff that they use the area for. So that was a lot of the physical aspect. We were, that was outside. And then we were also moving things around the classrooms for the teachers when the kids weren't there. So that was all the school improvement aspect of this. And then those are some pictures of, so on the left here is pictures of us singing to the kids and then them singing back to us. And then on the right is all the cement work that we were doing. So we first had to dig up all the dirt, and there was a lot of rocks in that area too, so we had to like remove these huge rocks and then lay down concrete. Well, the men on the group laid down the concrete. We didn't actually do it, but they were laying down the concrete after all that stuff was removed to extend the courts. Okay, so we can go to the next slide. So these are some of the videos. I guess we're going to do, let's do the skit first. So on the right hand, all the way on the bottom, is the mustard seed skit that we created. And you'll see at the end, the kids, like, love it. They just, like, were throwing little apples on the ground when the tree is all bloomed, and the kids are, like, running up. So you'll see that. I don't know if you can make it bigger or turn the sound. That's okay. It's okay. I can just narrate. So essentially we're doing the skit, we're doing the skit to a Spanish song so that the kids kind of understand what's going on in the parable. And then later on their teacher breaks down what's going on and what we were doing in each aspect of it, so they understood, like if we were doing something and it maybe didn't make sense, so they didn't connect it, she would reiterate what was going on, so they understood. Now the tree's growing. Yeah. I don't know if you guys can see very well. Thriving. The birds are coming in. I'm a bird. I'm sorry, there's no sound. And now, like, the fruit is starting to fall, and the kids are all running up. So the kids just, they really enjoyed the skits a lot, I think. The teachers had us, like, do them over and over in all the different classrooms. And you could just see, like, on their faces, they, like, were so amazed by it, which was really fun. So, yeah, that was the mustard seed. That was one of them that we did. And then on the right, I guess since there's no really sound, we really wouldn't make much sense to play them. But we were singing a song to the kids in Spanish on the top, and on the bottom they're singing back to us, just a little dance and song that they made. But the top one, so Señor Prepárame, right? So this song's called Señor, well in Spanish it's Señor Prepárame, but it's basically just saying like, Father, prepare me to be a sanctuary for you, and like a living temple. So that's what we were singing to them. Okay, we can go to the next slide. These are just a bunch of pictures I want. So there's going to be a lot of pictures throughout the whole presentation, and we could just take time to look at them, and I could just talk about some. But these are a lot of pictures from the classroom aspect of the schoolwork. And so at the top left here, you'll see all the girls dressed in blue dresses. And on the bottom, you'll see kids are also in costumes. So that day was our last day at the school. And they performed their traditional dances to us. So we got to experience their culture and, what they do to, like, celebrate their country. which was really nice. A lot of these other pictures are just us with the kids, us working in the classrooms, us playing with the kids on the bottom. So all the way here on the left bottom corner is a girl named Condi. And she was this little girl that found me on the first day we were at the school. And for some reason, she was very attached to me and she loved me. And so every day she would find me somehow and just latch onto me and like hold me the entire time. I'd be like walking around trying to go places and she wouldn't let go of me. I'd be like, I have to trabaja, I need to work. And she's like, no. So that was just really cool to experience Jesus through her and like how he just like desires to be with us. And he just wants to be with us all the time. So that was a really cool experience. Yeah, if you guys, I don't know if you guys have anything about certain pictures. Okay. Oh, really? Okay. You could try them again. Yeah, let's try the one of the singing ones. Let's the top left. Faintly. I think it's very low though. Sing it right now. Actually, I do, yeah. I don't know if
maybe
you want
we
to
don't
me
have
sing
some.
It you can do the piano. We sing that like through a couple times to them. But
maybe it's not going to work. Okay. We gave it a shot.
Yeah. It's okay. It's good. All right. So here's more pictures of the work aspect, the school improvement aspect of our time. And so you'll just see like different pictures of us painting the school building. It was blue, as you can see. And then the top right and top the right bottom, you could see the big cement block thing. I don't know what it's called, but the mixer, yeah, for the cement that we were using there. And then also on the, it's kind of cool, on the bottom right, you could see the mountains in the background. It's kind of hard to see because it's small, but so all around is very beautiful. There's a lot of mountains all around, and there's also a volcano near where we were staying that is active, but but it like it wasn't gonna erupt, but it was really cool to just like be around that different kind of environment too as we're working, and then just like being outside and being able to experience the nature while we were there. Oh yes, there were also earthquakes there that happened. Could talk about that later on too, but that taught us a lot about just trusting that the Lord was going to keep us safe in this new environment. So we could talk about that later, but yeah. So that, and then you can see us painting the court on the bottom left, and then us moving around classroom stuff on the left as well. Yeah. So that was some school stuff. We can go to the next one too. So this is just also, I wanted to bring this to our church as another opportunity to do mission work and reach another place. The school does take like support from other countries and other people. Supporting a child to go through their school is like $120 or I think it's $120 for the entire year, which is very cheap, which is really cool. So that's like another opportunity that we could do potentially if we wanted to support a child. I think it'd be very easy to do that too. So that's their website. I also have it on my my little newsletter. It's crinkled. I have it on my newsletter here. Also, you guys can take one of these in the back. But yeah, so that's an option for us too if we ever wanted to do that in the future. Or like reaching out to other schools and in countries like this that are very easy to support. Okay, so we could go to the next slide too. All right, so home visits. Emily's going to talk about home visits.
So another kind of aspect of work that we also did while we were within the community and within the school was that we visited several of the students. Their families and their houses were right nearby the school, within walking distance. So we actually went to several of their homes, and we blessed their houses, just talked to a lot of people, and just kind of talked about sort of what it's like to live in Arequipa, Peru for them, and then also just kind of just for our own sense of getting this opportunity to kind of see a very different type of living than anything I think any of us were familiar with. And so it kind of started where we were walking around these houses, and most of them are kind of tin roof, made of concrete, or made of actually the ash from the volcanoes. So Arequipa is called the White City because a lot of the buildings are made from the ash of the volcanoes, which is just really interesting and really fascinating. But for most of these students, where we were and the village that we were in is one of the most impoverished in Peru, actually. And so the school serves as a sanctuary for these children, for these kids, as an opportunity for them to have a chance at education and to have a chance to kind of make it out of their economic situation in a way. And so for most of these kids, we were serving in this school. And as you can kind of tell from the pictures, the school is it's really nice. It's a really nice place. And then you kind of leave those walls, and there's definitely a change, and there's a shift. And you kind of don't necessarily have the ability to articulate it in a way, but there's very much a level of poverty that you don't encounter when you're in the school. And that's because the school serves as a sanctuary. And so kind of going on these home visits, walking around, and just encountering these people in this way, it was very different. It was very humbling to just see kind of the desire for families to send their kids to this school so that they have a chance and an opportunity to receive this education and in the fullest way that they possibly can. So it was just really, really a humbling opportunity. And I think just sort of also to kind of, we were also giving prayer cards to these families. We've actually visited a shop as well, so kind of a grocery store shop in a way. And this woman, we gave her a prayer card, and she immediately just started weeping, and she was just filled with such this kind of passion, and she was like, I've never received a prayer card, I believe. And she just started totally crying and just was completely just taken aback by kind of just somebody giving her a very simple thing, giving her a prayer card, right? And so that was just really such a humbling opportunity, and also just a chance to kind of see of how much a very simple act can show somebody the face of Christ. And so that was really really such an opportunity to kind of grow in our own sense of what culture is. And I think too, it was very, very rewarding, especially because we were serving in this school, and we were then serving the families of the children who we were serving in the school. So that was just really such a rewarding and fulfilling opportunity, especially given that I think there was definitely a opportunity for our own hearts in a way to say, okay, well, these kids are at the school, they're given all the best opportunities, but then to really walk inside and kind of walk in their shoes in a way was just really, really beautiful and really profound too. So there's a couple of pictures on the next slide as well. So these are just some of the homes that we visited, and then kind of we made sure to take pictures just with every home that we visited, just to kind of have that. And the families, actually, a lot of them wanted to take pictures with us. They were just incredibly grateful for what we were doing, and we weren't honestly doing all that much. We were blessing their house, and that was just so fulfilling for so many of them. And I think there's more pictures as well on the next slide too. Yeah, so then there's just a couple other pictures here. Then we were also, so in the top right, so that's the woman who actually was, so she started crying when we blessed the shop. And then on the bottom right, see Donna here, one of the houses had guinea pigs, chickens, chicks, just kind of every array of animal that you could think of. So we actually had an opportunity to hold those animals and kind of just live sort of in community with the individuals as well. So that was just really special too. And I think that's it. So next slide. Yes, now Donna's going to talk about the next section.
So we visited a senior center in Arequipa. We did a lot of things. I remember one of the girls, her name was Emma, she immediately went up to a senior and started talking to her. What impressed me about Rachel and Grips was that even though they didn't know Spanish, they really connected with the elders. So like I felt like I had like a greater duty to like help them or help the others speak to the elders. But we also like ate with them, spoke with them, reminisced about their past and their love for Christ. These are just photos that we took over there. Some of us went to the kitchen and helped cook for them for their lunch, but this was us helping them eat. So yeah.
I guess I could speak on a few of these too, actually. So a lot of the people that we were with, they could move in some aspects. Some of them were in wheelchairs, so they couldn't stand. Some of them could move around a little bit. But there were also a lot of people who were bedridden. I think there's a few of them on the next slide, but a lot of them were bedridden that we didn't get to see. And the people that were there were like just, they had to take care of them in full totality. Like they were very sick, they couldn't do very much, they couldn't move. So yeah, there was that aspect of this home, this senior center that we were at. And then we were also encountering just the faith of these people that were there. They couldn't do very much, like physically, they couldn't do very much, but you could tell that they were just so willing to like reach out and talk to us. They wanted that community. They desired to like connect with us through Christ. And then just share that with us. And you could see in some of these photos just like their faith. So Father here is going around and just giving them a simple blessing. And you could just see that they're just very, very grateful for it. The man here on the bottom in the middle, he's just overjoyed about just interacting with us. And his room was right near the center of the senior center. And his door was open, so we could see him sometimes. And you could just hear him like peeking his head out. Like he couldn't get out of bed. But he was just like really trying to connect with us from where he was. So that was just beautiful to experience. And then, yeah, just you could see also the lady on the bottom right here, just like she's praying a little bit, just seeing how devoted they are to their faith, even with such like what seems like bad circumstances, they just have like great faith. So we can go to the next slide. Okay, so this is Christ in the City. So our hosts that were hosting us down there in Peru, they're part of an organization that's called Christ in the City, which basically just goes out into these poor cities and encounters the homeless that are living among the streets. They provide meals for them, things like that. I talked to them. So we made we made sandwiches around for the homeless that we were going to go and encounter, and we bought some drinks for them, and we walked around the city for maybe an hour, 2 hours, and we handed out meals to everyone that we encountered that was homeless, and I think it was around 50 meals that we ended up handing out in that time. And there were just so many more people that we didn't get to, which was a hard thing to realize. But it was beautiful being able to encounter those people too, because they were just very grateful for that small act. It was like literally a peanut, it was ham and cheese, like a ham and cheese sandwich that we made for them. Not very appetizing, like it was, I don't know, just on a piece of white bread and then a drink, but they were just very, very grateful for that small gift we were giving them. There was also one time we encountered a lady who had a sick child. So seeing that was another hard aspect of the trip. She couldn't really do much, so we had to go and buy the medicine for the kid. And yeah, recognizing that like it's not just individuals who are homeless, like there's families that go through this. There was a lot of families we encountered with multiple children. Like one lady had, I think, 6 kids. So just recognizing that was a hard aspect of the trip, I think, for us, but also good to realize like how grateful we are that we don't experience that us there, but there is that in the U.S. too that we need to think about as well. Okay, we can go to the next slide. See, these are just some of the pictures. You can see on the bottom right here, that's the lady holding her child that was sick. And yeah, just a bunch of different encounters we had with different people along the street. See them drinking, see them eating. Okay, we can go to the next slide. Okay, Donna's gonna talk a little bit more.
So yeah, there's a lot that we did. For me personally, when we would reflect at night about what was our peak of the day, I would usually say adoration. It was when we spent our time in front of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. And I felt his presence every time, and it was something that truly, I think, transformed my heart a lot. So yeah, our hosts were great. They were very, very generous. Like, we would come in on our last day of school, and they had like this whole meal prepped for us, and it was all fresh fruits, and it took a lot of time and effort for them to do that for us. And then we had a host, her name was Aleja. She was also very generous and kind. She always was ready to help us, ready to answer our questions, ready to lead us during the day. And we were grateful for her as well. Do you want to talk? So yeah, on one of the Sundays, we took a holy day of rest, which is when, what did we do on Sunday? I think we visited like a museum and went to go eat at a restaurant. So yeah, we just enjoyed our time there.
Yeah, so mainly too here, I want to just stress like we were doing all this work and giving all this love to people, but it wasn't like coming from us. We really had to find it from the source first. So spending time in prayer with Jesus and just allowing him to fill us first was really how we were able to do all the things we did, because we can't like continually keep giving if we're not being filled. So spending that time in the morning through prayer really allowed us to be filled with that, and then go out and do whatever he needed us to do. And then, yeah, along the day, we would continually encounter him through the people we were interacting with, just sitting and maybe, you know, praying throughout the day. But then at the end of the day, closing out, we, like, knew those gifts that we had been given weren't meant for us to just, like, hold on to. They're meant to be given back to God and for his glory and to praise him. Because it's like a cycle. You have to just, like, continually be flowing. So not to hold on to it, but then give it back. And then the next morning at night we do too, but just continually we'll receive it again, you know? It's a continual flow. So that was an important thing we wanted to stress. Like, we have to go to the source before we're able to give and then return it as well. Okay. Go to the next slide. We can, yeah. So just some more pictures from our trip. Fun things. The top right was our host. Victor was part of that community that I was talking about earlier. And they had us over one night just to experience a lot of cultural things that they have. And it just felt really nice. We were like part of a family, it felt like, with them. The bottom is us on Sunday. We went out to lunch. That was just a nice day of resting with each other and enjoying the Lord's Day. And then just also just a bunch of aspects of us as a group, being together and just being in community, because there's also that too. Like as a group, as a team, you're bringing Christ to each other too. There's that. You're in communion, like talking to each other and learning about each other and sharing Christ with each other. It's not just mission work with the country we're in, but also with the group you're in too, because you're supposed to love those you're with too. So that was that aspect of more than just our work. Okay, we can go to the next slide. Takeaways.
So just kind of closing on a couple ends here. So just wanted to go over some takeaways that we all had on the trip. The first one was dependence on the Lord and kind of growing through a dependence on him. And I think, honestly, I think for all of us, one of the most impactful areas was sort of the natural elements of the trip. So between the earthquakes and the volcano, I think there was sort of we had no control in terms of any kind of natural events that were happening. I believe we experienced 5 earthquakes kind of throughout the course of, right?
We felt, but there was more.
Yeah, so we, around 5, but, and that was definitely a very uncomfortable situation for all of us, because none of us had ever encountered an earthquake to the extent that we felt them, but it was very, a reliance on how little control we all have, but then also this kind of sense of community, and we're all experiencing this together as frightening as it may have been in the moment, and then kind of just a greater dependence on how the Lord is stressing us to be here. We've all given our yes to be here, and kind of we all gave our yes to be in Peru and to be on that mission, and how that is our mission, and we are being called to it, and so what kind of that looks like, and that greater dependency to be there as well and to serve in that place. And then kind of secondly, too, how the Lord provides for us, what he calls us to, what our desires are, and just kind of I think all of us collectively really embrace this sort of spirit of the unknown on this trip and a lack of control. And I think in that, too, we all felt as though we were really called to be on this mission. We were really called to be in this place, to serve these people. And we kind of found that. We found that both through the people that we were literally serving, but then also through just our group and through the kind of shared aspects of community that we were living in and we were partaking in. And it was really beautiful in that way, because there was a spirit of vulnerability too within everybody in the community that really fostered this opportunity to just get to know the people that we were on mission with. And kind of just from personal experience too of I kind of gone into this trip sort of knowing Rachel, sort of knowing Donna, Natalia, Kate, a couple other people who were on the trip, but I didn't really like know them super well, and kind of just building this community and really getting to know their hearts, getting to know who they are as people really just fostered this this renewed sense of what friendship is and kind of what does it mean to live in authentic friendship, which is one of our last points there, too, but just to kind of develop this understanding that we are all being called here, but we're also being called to embrace who we are around and who we are with in the present moment, whether that be in Peru, at UConn for us, or in this space, in any space kind of that we are living in, and we are encountering people every day, right? And so what that kind of looks like, what does it mean to live with that spirit of friendship and with that spirit of knowing, like, this is who I'm here to serve and to live in that present moment to do so. So that was really beautiful, really humbling, and just such an opportunity to encounter more people in profoundly profoundly deep ways as well. And then two, of just kind of trusting the Lord's provision, trusting his plan for us, whether that be through what prayer, where prayer is leading us, whether that be through just unexpected moments, whether that be through encountering individuals in a particular way, kind of trust of the unknown as well, which I think is sort of one of the themes is just trust of the unknown for this trip, but kind of embracing that too, I think was really beautiful. And then I also just want to go through, so kind of the first picture here, the one on the right, or on the left, sorry. So that's us at an earthquake drill, basically for the school. So we all stand outside in a circle. They told us it was going to be scheduled at 11 o'clock. We're like, okay, great, we're going to go out, we're going to do this drill. Little did we know there would actually be an earthquake at 11 o'clock while we were doing this drill. The school also did not know that. Nobody knew this. So that was a very, like, okay, this is going well for us. We're safe, we're good. But was definitely a very kind of very rewarding experience, but also kind of scary because we were like, okay, we have no idea what's going on anymore. And apparently nobody else does either. So that was very, very humbling. And then secondly, too, in the middle picture there, so we actually had a university professor come in to our retreat center and give us a talk about the kind of cultural and historical narrative of Peru and of the place that we were staying at, because I think even in our retreat center, we were in a very beautiful retreat center. The school is very beautiful. And you kind of look at the agricultural component, you look at the naturalistic component, and you sort of, Peru is a very, it's a very diverse place, and I don't think any of us kind of knew very much. Obviously, I think we all had the idea of like, oh, Machu Picchu is in Peru, and that's kind of it, sort of the baseline of what we had, and so to have her kind of come in to talk about the more historical and kind of even architectural components of Peru, that was really, really awesome, because it's like we're in this place and we're serving here, so I think it's important that we also know the background for the place that we're in and the place that's giving so much to us at this point. So that was awesome. And then just again, kind of some of the skits that we were performing, and just kind of a testament to just how much I think all of our hearts were open to love in a deeper way, whether that be through the students we were encountering, the people within the city that we were encountering, or just any kind of aspect of the trip or each other, just to kind of grow in deeper love, deeper friendship, deeper community, and just to really embrace what does it mean to serve and what does it mean to live God's mission and to give your yes in this way, to serve and to be called to serve on mission, so.
All right, and then we're going to go to our last slide. It's just quick thank yous. So first, we're going to just thank our parents for supporting us and then also going through all the challenges that I know arise as parents when you're allowing your children to go on mission trips to different countries. So we'd like to thank you. I know your parents aren't here, but I know you guys thank them too. And then we'd like to thank all of you for supporting us financially, through your prayers, because that's really what enabled us to go and to do this. And then I also wanted to just like reiterate, like, being a Christian, living out the Christian life, can be done in two ways or both ways. And the Lord can call us to go on mission, or he can call us to support mission, or he can call us to both. And those are both ways that the Lord is calling us to draw into deeper relationship with him, and in ways that he individually desires to know us and have us know him. So we can be called to go on mission as we did. We can be called to support mission as many of you did. Or we can even be called to do both. So yeah, just like reiterating that like you all were part of the mission. You all did what Christ desired you to do at that moment as well. And you were being a part of that mission. And yeah, moving forward, like he might call you to one or the other or both. But yeah, so yeah, just thank you to you all.
Do we have... Yes. Do we have any questions from the audience or from the congregation for these three wonderful young ladies who desired to serve the Lord and the people of Peru and have served us this morning? Any questions at all? Speak loudly, and then I will repeat the question because we're down a mic right now.
So it's not mainly the group that does that. Like the school fosters learning, biblical learning. They have like that aspect attached to their school. And then they also do teach English. Like the teachers teach English. But we were just assisting in those things. So it doesn't stop when we leave. And then there's also other focus groups that are continually on a cycle going to the school. Like we weren't the first focus group to go there. So they've had focus groups come to the school before. So yeah, there's just like cycles of people that come in, but we're not the main people that are in charge of doing that for them. We're just assisting. Yeah.
More questions? Yeah.
Are you saying, like, are all groups Christian groups that go?
Yeah.
I think so, right? I think they're all, because the school is, I think all groups are, their main purpose is to teach about the Bible and then also serve in their poverty and help the school in that way, but the main purpose is to go and to teach about the Lord. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The community is very faith oriented, as we saw with like the homes and everything. So everyone is very like drawn to it.
The question was, how do they feel like this experience has maybe changed the trajectory of their life, the direction that God is leading them?
So I've been thinking about this question a lot, actually. I think for me, a lot of kind of the, I'd never gone anywhere kind of outside of the United States prior to this trip, and so that was very... just completely different kind of culture shock at the very start, but then also, I think I've sort of been kind of wrestling with the idea of more missionary work, what that looks like, kind of how to kind of take a deeper level of trust in my relationship with God and kind of really sort of step outside of my comfort zone in a way, and I think. This trip was certainly the first sort of step in that goal, and kind of I think just sort of receiving and being able to receive love and then to give love as well was kind of one of the areas where I think this trip really showed me a desire for mission that I don't think I had before. And it might not look like going to Peru again, or it might not look like whatever that looks like. I have no idea what it looks like, frankly. But kind of, I think it really opened up this area of my heart where I was like, I really want and I really desire to serve people in this way, and kind of how can I do that, and in what ways can I do that? So that was kind of the, it's certainly changed sort of also just how I look at the world in a way, and how I kind of view the United States and then also the world, and sort of how we're all called to be one form of humanity, and yet just how much our differences sort of dictate our ability to do that. So just kind of, I think it really just reprogrammed my definition of kind of what is love and what does love look like. So.
Did you want something? Yeah.
For me, it's a bit different. Spiritually, I did grow just because of the daily mass and adoration. But also, like, I think I had some peace from my past as well. I had like a stereotype about Peruvians, because like I am Peruvian. So I kind of saw them all the same, even like the bad parts. But this trip showed me that everyone is different and people are changing and not everyone is the same. Like everyone has Christ in them. There is good in people. So yeah.
Any last questions before we close? All right, let's show our appreciation one more time. Thank you to all three of you. It's wonderful. One of the things that Rachel said that is so very important for us to recognize is this idea that you cannot serve genuinely out of the love of Christ without knowing his love poured out in your heart through the Holy Spirit. And Rachel described that as, and even Donna described that, and Emily described that, in ways in which they knew the love of Christ being poured out in their hearts in the morning, through prayer, through focusing on Christ, through relationships with one another as Christ was encouraging them through another person. It is essential that we love one another in the love of Christ first and foremost by receiving his love, by having our hearts inclined to him through his word, through prayer, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and in the presence of his people as we love and encourage one another. And so that was something that was really helpful as a reminder for me to realize that we love others because we have been loved by Christ. And our ability to love one another comes out of the overflow of our being filled with his love, his kindness, his mercy each day. So thank you, ladies, so much for serving the Lord. Thank you for being willing to stand in a circle as an earthquake hit. It's amazing to see how God orchestrates these things well beyond us and the way in which he so lovingly protected you when you weren't even aware of it. When you weren't even aware of it. It's incredible how faithful God is. After the service today, we're going to be downstairs for a time of fellowship. You can get a chance to meet Donna and Emily, and of course most of you know Rachel, and ask them more questions and pick their brain. I would encourage you, as you go home today, ask two questions. Number one, God, what are you calling me to? What are you calling me to? What is your heart for me? In missions, whether that is to be available for missions or to support missions. ask him those two things, or maybe both, to support and also be willing to go on missions in some way, shape, or form. Go home and ask God both of those questions and see how he answers. See what he starts to do.